Well, if we were to go back some 2,000 years and find ourselves in Israel, we would find ourselves in a time of rather conflicting and confusing emotions. You see, the Jewish people, the chosen people, living in the promised land, weren't exactly experiencing the type of living that we would have thought that they would have had at that point. There never really had been much in the way of peace in the promised land. First, there was this time where the Israelites had to conquer the land. And certainly God gave them the land and drove people out, but it took a long time before they were able to finally settle it. And there were tribal issues and always issues with neighboring countries that didn't like what was happening. There were always times of conflict. And it wasn't until King David came along that he was able to unify finally and fully the 12 tribes of Israel into one united nation. Unfortunately, David's sin and Solomon's sin resulted in that lasting only for two kings. For when Solomon passed away, the nation was once again divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. There was turmoil within the nation of Israel at that point. And there continued to be those neighboring countries with whom there were constant skirmishes. Finally, the sin got bad enough that within this chosen people, within this promised land, there came invaders from afar. The Assyrians came on in and they conquered the northern kingdom and took some of them away. And then the Assyrians were conquered by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians came even further, and they came on in and they conquered the southern kingdom of Judah. And soon, the chosen people of Israel found themselves exiled from the promised land, not exactly the life that they were expecting. Well, when the Medes and Persians came on in and they conquered the Babylonians, they said, well, you Jewish people who are in exile, you can go back to your land. But they were going back to their land as people living in an occupied territory. And the Medes and the Persians gave way to the Greeks. And so they all learned Greek. And so we look at our historic biblical texts and we find them all written in Greek, thanks to Alexander the Great and his conquests. But again, that's not peaceful living, is it? And then the Greeks themselves were overthrown by the Romans. And so 2,000 years ago in Israel, you had the chosen people living in the promised land, which was occupied territory. They paid homage to the emperor, Caesar. They didn't have the freedoms that they would have anticipated having if they were living in this promised land as the chosen people of God. Instead, because of their sin, they found themselves oppressed. Life wasn't necessarily miserable every moment of the day, but it wasn't what they had expected. It wasn't what they hoped for. And when they turned their eyes to the prophetic words of Scripture, they looked with hope and expectation that there would be one who would come, an anointed one, the Messiah, the one who would deliver them from this oppression that was upon them. And so it was 2,000 years ago that the Jewish people lived with hope and with expectation that their oppression would be thrown aside, that they would be liberated. They didn't really understand how that was going to happen, but they knew that God's word said it. Now, I want to pause there for a moment because there was one who knew clearly what that was going to look like. And Luke captures it in chapter 2 of his gospel message when he talks about the young infant Jesus being brought to the temple to be dedicated. Because they ran into a man named Simeon. And I want to read this to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32 says this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought him, the child Jesus, to do what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, and said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon understood what the true hope of God's promise was. And he was blessed by God to hold that infant child, Jesus, in his hands, knowing that he was holding the salvation, not just of the Jews, but of the Gentiles. Unfortunately, what Simeon experienced that day wasn't well known to the rest of the people in Jerusalem and the rest of the people of Israel. But they still were familiar with the prophecies. And they knew. They knew that in Daniel chapter 9, there was discussion about what's become known as the 77s, a 490-year period of time during which the Messiah would arrive and ultimately save the world. And they knew that there was this discussion that 483 years after the order went out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that the Anointed One would appear. Scholars have disagreed at exactly when that time began. Was it using the Jewish 360-day year or our understanding of years? There's been some dispute about it. But what cannot be disputed is when it came time for Jesus to begin his earthly ministry, which was kicked off by his being baptized by John the Baptist, the Jewish religious leaders were on the lookout for the Messiah. So convinced that the Messiah was coming, that when they saw the Jewish people who didn't need to be baptized coming to John the Baptist for his ministry of repentance and baptism, they sent people out to ask, "Are you the one that we're to expect?" John the Baptist said, "No, it's not me, but the one you're looking for is here." He made it clear to them that indeed the Messiah was amongst them at that time. And so they had to have been filled with hope and expectation that this time of oppression was about to be over. And frankly, if you were to look at what was being promised in prophecy, you could understand how they would reach their conclusion that the Messiah who was there was going to be the one that freed them from Roman occupation, that finally restored them as the chosen people in the promised land to live that life, that quality life where they could worship as they pleased and come and go without having paid taxes to Caesar. Let me come forward a couple thousand years to us today. The Jewish people were looking for deliverance, and frankly, today in 2020, there are a lot of things that we're looking for deliverance from. We need deliverance from COVID-19, frankly. This insidious disease has affected so many people. It has taken so many lives. It has caused lasting harm physically to so many others. And that is only the tip of the iceberg of the damage it has done. It has really done significant lasting damage to our healthcare environment, because people that needed elective surgeries, people that needed regular checkups, haven't been doing them out of fear of getting into an environment that might be filled with a virus. And as a result, we've had to lay off healthcare workers that we desperately need to have. Many of us have put off procedures and regular checkups that might have caught diseases early on where they're easier to fix. And instead, out of fear of catching this virus, we're allowing them to get worse and worse inside of us. There has been this horrible issue of loneliness, as people have not been able to see their loved ones, their spouses, their parents, their grandparents, as they've been sequestered away in assisted living facilities. We've had people gone, and we've had people die of loneliness in those places. We've had people seek to compensate for their loneliness and their sense of isolation with all sorts of substances that we should not be putting in our bodies. And so our addiction rates and our recidivism rates are going up as people give in as they try to escape what's going on around us. Economically, we're doing such enormous damage. People who have spent their entire lives building up businesses have spent their every last penny so that their employees might still be able to eat. And those businesses are now gone forever. There are so many things that we just need to be delivered from in regards to COVID. We need a vaccine. We need right public policy. We need leadership. We need deliverance from this disease. But that's not all we need deliverance from. We need deliverance from social injustice. We need to be a nation where all men and women are created equal. We need to be a nation where all people are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We need to be a nation where people feel like they've been given a fair shot, and if they just work hard, they got a chance to succeed. We need institutions. We need policies. We need leaders who will help us become that nation. We need deliverance from all the uproar and the injustice and the anger that exists because of that. We need to be delivered from it. And frankly, we need to be delivered from our political leaders. Half the people in this country feel we need to be delivered today from the man who is in the White House today. The other half of the nation feels like we need to be delivered from the guy who's going to be in the White House when we get rid of the guy that's in it right now. We don't trust the way our leaders are elected. We don't trust the way our judges are appointed. We don't trust the news media to give us the full story. We are just seething with lack of trust and the anger that that creates because we don't know who we can listen to. We need one who will rise up above all of that, we feel like. We need somebody who's going to tell it to us straight, who's going to take our greatest interests in mind and deliver us from this madness that's tearing us apart as a nation. Such are the things that we think we need to be delivered from. Much like the Jews felt like they needed to be delivered from their Roman oppressors. But the problem is, in the economy of God, the things that we feel like we need to be delivered from the most are not the things that we need to be most delivered from. We want to be comfortable here and now. God's concern is for our eternal comfort. And so we tend to look at things differently, don't we? I'd like to think that if I were in Israel 2,000 years ago, I would not have missed the coming of the Messiah. I'd like to think that I would have known my scriptures well enough so that when I read Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I saw what was going to happen, that I would have read, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel," that I would have understood clearly that the Messiah who was to come wasn't going to come in riding on a horse like a conquering hero. But he was going to be one that was going to strike at the heart of the deceiver while himself being struck, being wounded for our transgressions and pierced for our iniquities. I'd like to think that I would have known enough about my scriptures to know that if he was to conquer sin and death, if he was to conquer the grave, that first he would have to go to the grave and die so that he could conquer it. I would like to think that I would have read enough of my scriptures to know that this was so much more than making me comfortable, that it was about conquering sin. And when I look at the world today, those things that we want to be delivered from are those things that affect our lives, our quality of life, our comfort in life today. But they have nothing to do with where we spend eternity. The reason why there was something that needed to be fixed was not because the world was difficult. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, the world was perfect. What set everything awry was when they turned their backs on God and chose to do their own will and not his. At that moment, sin entered the world. At that moment, death entered the world. At that moment, everything that is wrong with the world today happened. So what we're not trying to conquer are issues in this world by coming up with better issues in the world. The issues in the world that we're trying to conquer, we can only do so if we go back to God, if we go back to him, and if we find our hope in him. Because it's really easy, frankly, if you look at the reading for today, People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. It's easy to feel like we're in darkness, but with the right leader, there will be light. We had one who proclaimed 1,000 points of light, and we have so frequently looked at our leaders as those who would be light. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. If our nation is rich, if it's growing economically, that's who we need in a leader, somebody who's going to help us, and we can all rejoice in the bounty and share in that. It's easy to see that if that's where you're focused on the world. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Boy, to get the man off your back, to be free of that oppression in whatever form it looks like, isn't that what we're looking for? It's only the right leader who will do that, right? Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. A time of peace. No more war. Where those garments that were used that would be stained with the blood of our opponents, we can just toss them in the fire and put that memory of violence away as we usher in a period of peace. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Okay, these verses kind of draw us to a conclusion about who this leader is going to be. But if we're so focused on God, we might think that God is worried about giving us peace in this world, making the best of this glorious creation, a place of greatness of the government, and peace that will have no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that. Indeed he will, and indeed he does. It is to come, and it is to come at the hand of Jesus Christ. But if we are looking to the world, we are simply going to look for a leader who will rise up, who will fill that role and make our life comfortable here. Where instead what God is inviting us to do is to restore the relationship with Christ, to get right with God, as Sister Wiley would so often sing, to bring us back to that relationship that broke in the Garden of Eden, so that we're no longer turning our backs on God, but we are fully embracing him as his creation, saying on a daily basis, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, and seeking to glorify him by being all that he created us to be. By recognizing that our hope lies in accepting the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for all of us. When he shed his blood so that that would be the perfect atoning sin, sacrifice for our sinfulness. Our hope must lie in Christ alone. He must be the reason for our belief. And so as we look forward to a quickly ending 2020, for so many of us that want to quickly just turn the page on December and let the bells ring January 1st and usher in a new year, I say don't do that so quickly, because we have December 25th coming up. And the reality of December 25th is that it is nothing more than a reason for us to remember in our hearts and in our minds that our Savior was born. He's not just someone who lives up high, but he was somebody who came down and walked the earth here. He experienced the temptations of this world. He knew what it meant to be hungry, to be thirsty. He knew what it meant to be tempted by Satan. He knew what it meant to feel the scourge of the whip, to feel the thorns pressed into his skull. He knew what it meant to feel his life ebbing out of his body. He knew what it meant to feel betrayed and abandoned. All that we experience, he has felt. And he did it anyway for us. December 25th is coming. And I just encourage all of you to find in that day, in that moment, hope. Don't let this world get its hooks into you so badly that you think it's only about what you put under a tree. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and I think this is a fitting way to end. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, he wrote this. Talk about a proclamation of hope. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our relationship with God, broken by our sin, can be restored by the blood shed by our Savior Jesus Christ. His love for us cannot be broken. It knows no bound. It holds us near and dear to him. In him we are saved. In him we have hope. And it is a hope that does not disappoint. Hold firmly to that, my friends. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful, so grateful that in our sinfulness, you laid forth a path that would get us right with you, a path that leads to the cross, a path through which your Son, Jesus Christ, stands guard. Father, we thank you that you have called us to him, and we pray that you would call even more. Father, help us to be effective stewards of your good message, of your gospel word. Help us to be your hands and your feet, exposing this world to the love of Christ, so that their hearts would be softened, that they would be called to you, and they too would share in the hope that we have, a hope that only comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. May his name be proclaimed loudly forevermore. Amen.